Bibles, please. And let's go over to 2 Kings and chapter 20. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers do have some Bibles. Second Kings chapter 10. I said 10. Second Kings chapter 20. Okay, this is a time that Hezekiah, who was a king of Judah, the word was given to him. Now, he just came out of a great victory where he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent angels, and these angels really attacked and destroyed 185,000 Assyrians that were coming against the Jews. And so now it says in verse 1 of chapter 20, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him, and he said to him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add to thy days, what? 15 years, and I'll deliver thee in this city. Now, notice what happened here. This is where Isaiah got a bad report, or a report of the fact that he wasn't going to live much longer. And then he prayed. And the Bible says in verse 3, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. So he brought God to remembrance about something that he had done. And as a result of that, God said to Isaiah, go tell him he's got 15 more years. Now, I wonder what would have happened to Hezekiah if he hadn't petitioned God. Does anybody, can you guess what might have happened to him? He would have died. He would have died. And I really believe this is the way sowing and reaping works. I believe that people have sown seed, but they've never received their harvest. That the harvest is still laid up. Right. Why? Because they never used their faith to receive it. Let's look at another place. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Over in Matthew's gospel 6 and 19, he says something interesting. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, say in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's a law of double reference. It's a lot of references in there. But he's saying that you can lay up treasure in heaven. When I was a little kid down south growing up, they used to call it sending up timber. You know, like you're going to build a mansion or something. It says, when you do good works, you send up timber. That's what they used to say. But when you put something in offerings, you actually send forth something to your heavenly account. And like a savings account when I was a kid, they used to multiply it times something, maybe 6%, maybe 5%. Now they don't hardly give anything, but then they did. So when you put it in there, it's multiplied. Now you have to get it out. Let me just give you another one. And they're all through the book. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, here's what the Apostle Paul says. This is the New Testament because the law of sowing and reaping doesn't change. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Communicate means to give in this case. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Let's look at that in the Amplified, that same scripture, and just see what it says. He says, I'll wait on that. And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving. Come on, except you only. So you can bank in heaven. Come on now, come on with me. You can bank in heaven. And you can send it up, and when you need it, you can get it back. Isn't this wonderful? Let's look at Jesus doing this. Look at Matthew chapter 17, please. Over in Matthew's gospel chapter 17, it says here in verse 24, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then are their children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give to them for me and thee. That's harvest. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't get a harvest without a seed. There's one gentleman who was in a ministry here, and he was new, and he started grabbing hold of these principles, and he started sowing. Then he said he had an opportunity. He came and testified because he had an opportunity. He had to go over to Gary for some business matter. But he went over there, and when he got to Gary, he didn't carry any money with him. He discovered he didn't have any money. And so the traffic was heavier from Chicago to Gary than he thought. And he got over in Gary, and now he's trying to figure out, with this gas needle on E, how am I going to get back to Chicago? And he's passed by a gas station. Spirit of God said, pull in the station. And he pulled in the station. Now, he prayed about it and pulled in the station. And then he looked over to the gas pump, and there was a car with a lady. Looked like she was wiping her tears from her eyes. And he went over. It was cool at that time, getting colder. And he said, excuse me, ma'am, is there something wrong? She said, yeah, I filled up my car and it's got a leak in the gas tank. It's just leaking out. And all that gas I filled up, he said, I ran and got a bucket. He said, that's my harvest. Now, he wasn't wishing anything well on the lady, but no use in just letting the gas go on the ground. Say amen to that. So he said he put that gas in his car and came on back to Chicago. I'm saying, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not saying this is the way God's going to do you. But I do know this. You can't get a harvest without a seed. Not in the kingdom you can't. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just a phenomenal scripture. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, verse 6, shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Hold on there. Let's go to the Amplified in that particular scripture. Now, this is what God, the purpose of God wanting you to have this bountiful amount. He says this, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you, how? In abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be what? Self-sufficient. Keep going. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So isn't this something that God never planned for us to have to run through the system of the world to support his children? God plans on us to get that seed and sow it and let my God supply all your need. No church communicated with me as concerning deposits and withdrawing, but you only. And that's one of the reasons why every now and then God tells me to do something that'll make you withdraw. Remember the last one we had was to pay off the building. And I said, hey, want everybody to believe for $1,000. And I said, take an envelope and listen, don't go to your savings account, don't go to anything, let God fill it up. And God filled it up, we paid it off, and that was that. So I'm here to tell you that my God shall supply all your need. Give God praise for it and thank him for it in Jesus' name.